Support for MPB comes from the Mississippi Museum of Art in Jackson. What Became of Dr. Smith by artist Noah Satterstrom is on view beginning April 20th. Learn more at msmuseumart.org.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
You're listening to the Mississippi Arts Hour. I'm Malcolm White. I'm your host today. My guest is Kim Caron from the Caron or Caron Gallery in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Hello, good to see you.
We are recording our show today at the Link Center in Tupelo. It is one of our creative partners at the Mississippi Arts Commission. It is an old church facility that is home to the North Mississippi Symphony, to artists, working artists, to the, I guess, is it the Tupelo Arts Council or? I'm not sure what they call themselves, but there's a group of artists and creatives who operate out of here. I think even the Boy Scouts, maybe.
Yeah, I know the Tupelo Ballet.
The ballet is here,
and they're part of that council.
But anyway,
there's a lot of different agencies. It's a great building. Here. It's hard to keep up with it all.
Great facility here in Tupelo, but Kim, tell us a little bit about. Your space in downtown Tupelo, your gallery. Often on the show we have artists and musicians, but sometimes we have people who have creative businesses, and that's what we think about when we think about an art gallery.
Yeah. Well, we opened about 10 years ago, right after the economy tanked, and I decided that if we could get started in Tupelo at the bottom of the economy, then we might be able to survive. And I had a lot of naysayers, a lot of doubters, because a gallery had never survived in Tupelo more than a year.
Really?
So I worked on a website for about 6 months or so, and wanted to focus on just Mississippi artists. I feel like that was a niche for us to jump onto, grow, develop, and provide a platform for Mississippi's most talented artists. I think they're the most talented in the country, and with being the smallest state, the ones who have smaller voices, I thought that we would be a great way to set up that platform for them. So it's been a long 10 years, good days, bad days, good months, bad months.
Any small business, particularly creative small business that makes 10 years is quite a notable occasion. So congratulations.
Some days we didn't know if we would make it 10 years.
I understand.
Or another day.
So you've moved around. You haven't always been at your current location, which is what? What is your current location?
Our current location is 126 West Main Street, downtown Tupelo, between Kermit's Outlaw Kitchen and Amsterdam Deli, who's a new restaurant downtown, across street from Reed's, and just down the block from the iconic Tupelo Hardware.
What a creative place to be right there in the heart of Tupelo.
But the third spot on the same block.
So you've just moved around the same block.
Just moved around. We started in an old bank that was on the other side of Kermit's, and we had to beg them to rent the space to us.
Wow. Because they just didn't think a gallery would last?
Well, I think she wanted to sell it. She wanted to sell it, and the economy was, struggling, and she wanted the money for it, and I just called her and I said, can we talk? Mm-hmm. Can you meet with me? And talking to a woman business owner, me being a brand new business owner, hoping to be a business owner, I was like, can you just give us a year? Can you just give me a year and let's just see what happens? And I promise I'll take care of your building. And it was old bank, then an insurance office, and it was kind of rough. It was pretty rough.
Who was your first artist that you represented?
Oh gosh, now I can't even think about it. I know Cindy Awney was one of our first artists. Lee Gibson was one of our first artists. I was so worried about finding artists, and my website developer said, "You get a few people." And then you create a Facebook page, and you'll be amazed. They'll come knocking. And within a month, people were knocking. And I was like, oh, my gosh, how'd they find me? But there was nothing in North Mississippi. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's Oxford, Southside, of course. But in Tupelo, there just wasn't a gallery providing any art. And artists were searching for spaces.
Besides the artist, where does your clientele come from? The people who come and shop in your in your gallery.
Well, we have, you know, obviously we have the Tupelo community, Lee County, the counties around us. I'm going to Oxford this afternoon to deliver and install some art, but we've shipped art all over the country and to Europe. We used to have a collector. Let me think what country it was. But anyway, he was a big fan of Elvis, and Elaine Goodman made, you know, iconic, crazy, fun images
outside
of Elvis.
Art.
Outside art, yes. And so every time I had a shipment, I would, or I'd go to her studio. She wouldn't bring it up here. So I'd go down to Columbus and gather up stuff from her and always made sure I thought about him.
Got some Elvis pieces.
Yeah, got Elvis pieces, took photos of it, emailed it to him, and he would pick what he wanted, and I'd box it up and pray it. It got there in one piece.
How much of your business today is walk-in traffic versus internet or
Well, we do have, I would say the local is 30 to 50% of our business. And then our website's probably about 20% of our business. Mm. And then social media is probably another 20% of our business. So, and social media really helps reinforce our local sales and reinforce our website sales. Social media is amazing. It's frustrating to keep up with it because it could totally consume all day, every day.
That's right.
But it allows us to reach people outside our region, outside our community here. And that, to me, that's exciting.
Today on the Arts Hour, I'm talking with Kim Caron, who is the owner-operator of the Caron Gallery in downtown Tupelo, Mississippi. We're actually recording our show today at the Link Center in Tupelo as well, a very creative public space here in Tupelo. And Kim, we're glad you're here, and we're speaking about your gallery. Before the gallery, you said this was your first business, so what did you do prior to the gallery?
I stayed home with my kids for 15 years.
Yeah,
so it was very scary to go back out and work again. I had worked, you know, when I got out of college, I worked at Reed's, the retail store, for a few years. And I went and then went to the hospital, North Mississippi Health Services, and worked in their business, you know, business services.
Right.
Center for Business Health is what it was called. Of course, it's all, you know, something else
changed,
now. Yeah. But worked there for a few years, got married, had a couple kids, and decided I needed to stay home and manage them. And so my husband was kind enough to let me stay home for a while. And then when the kids started driving, I thought, not staying here anymore.
Time to do something else.
Yeah, yeah.
And how did you come to think about opening an art gallery?
Well, my husband and I had, over the years, collected art from festivals or in our travels, all different kinds. I mean, we have a wide, crazy collection of art. And some of it's, most of it's fairly inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few pieces that we had to wait on and you know, squirrel away some money for it. But we were just, that was one of our things that we enjoyed together.
I got you.
And just loved it. And I just thought, you know, we've got some creative people here. I know there's some artists. And that would just be something different, something people didn't have. You know, why not try something and see what happens?
And did you grow up in Tupelo?
I moved here when I was 10, so I'm not originally from Tupelo, but my dad was with the furniture industry, and so when they moved him here, we all came, and never thought I'd come back to Tupelo after college, but
so you went away to college? Where'd you go to college?
Mississippi State.
Oh, okay.
Yes, my family's the other side, so we struggle with that, but
what'd you study at State?
I have a degree in marketing.
Okay. So that worked out nicely for the gallery.
Yeah, yeah. And I took some electives in the art department.
Have you ever done any painting or made art yourself?
Excuse me. Well, I want to take some photography classes at State because I got to my junior year and had not taken any electives. And so I went over there and I said, well, I want to take this class. And they're like, well, you have to have art one and two.
Oh boy.
And I was like, what? They're like, I said, I just want to take this class. And I said, no, it's a prerequisite for this. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I took art 1 and 2, and the professors kind of looked at me like, why are you here? It's like, there's a reason. Let me just pass me so I can take the photography classes, I promise. But they were really nice. They were encouraging, and they didn't look down upon me as a business major, right, not in the art world. And they were very kind and really encouraging. And so I took those classes. I passed, and I think maybe one of them I made an A.
All right. Now, what is Art 1 and 2? Is that art appreciation, or is that elements of art? Or
I think the Art 1 was like just color and
composition,
design. Composition,
yeah.
Like
that, yeah.
And then Art 2 was drawing, so I had to have a sketchbook and turn in a sketchbook every few weeks.
And then you got to take your photography classes.
And then photography.
And tell me about your photography classes that you worked so hard to get to take.
I know. It was so fun. It was hard, too. But getting into the dark room and develop those, that's back in the day when we didn't use gloves to develop the black and white.
Oh, yeah.
Film. Yeah. So hopefully I don't have some kind of
disease. Your hands look fine.
Yeah, they do. I don't know about anything else. But, you know, it was so amazing to see things just all of a sudden appear on that paper.
Yeah, it's very magical.
Oh, gosh. And so I was hooked, so hooked. So I took, I don't know, 2 or 3, whatever was offered. I took whatever we could. I'm trying to think of the professor, and I think she's still there.
Wow.
So I've asked some other kids about her that have been there. But, you know, she's taking a 4x6. She had a 4x6
camera.
Yes, whatever. Camera. I can't think what they're really called.
Well,
and we would drag it out to the parks, and it was not many people in the class back then. I don't know how the department is now, how big the class is, but I know the art department probably needs some funding like everyone else.
So are you continuing to take photographs? Are you an Instagrammer, or are you, shoot a lot of?
I don't. You know, when we got really busy, I just thought the main focus of the gallery needs to be the other artists. I just wasn't as talented as they were. And everyone likes to be a hobby photographer. And there's some who are much better than others, and some who are really, truly real artists.
Amazing. So do you represent any photographers now?
I don't presently. You know, when I first started, everybody wanted a painting on canvas.
Right.
And they didn't want anything under glass. So watercolor didn't sell, photography didn't sell. Just in the past year is things under glass selling. So that's been good to see that, because watercolor is one of my favorite mediums. And to see that finally progress. I've seen good photographers in other communities, how they're, you know, in other galleries, how they're building that up. But it's been tough to try to decide about reintroducing it in the gallery.
You've been at it 10 years. You've got plenty of time to evolve if you want to start representing some photographers.
I hope so one day. I hope so, because I think that, you know, everyone can say that, well, I've got a camera on my phone, and these new phones, I mean, are great. But there's something to say about a truly artistic photographer.
Absolutely. And there are many of those in Mississippi as well.
Absolutely.
Hi, I'm Malcolm White. Thanks for listening to the Mississippi Arts Hour podcast. You can also hear the show on MPB Think Radio every Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m. For access to more conversations with creative Mississippians, subscribe to the podcast using your favorite podcast app.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jimmy Stewart, Professor of Internal Medicine and Pediatrics at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. On the Original Southern Remedy, we answer questions about all aspects of your health and share some of the latest medical information in the news. You can listen to the show on Wednesdays at 11 on MPB Think Radio, or you can subscribe to the podcast by searching for Southern Remedy on your preferred podcasting app.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
You're listening to the Mississippi Arts Hour. I'm Malcolm White. I'm your host today. Hope you are enjoying your Sunday afternoon, doing whatever you're doing, and living life freely in Mississippi. My guest today is Kim Caron, and Kim owns and operates a gallery in downtown Tupelo, Mississippi, called the Caron Gallery, or in the French would say a Caron Gallery, the Caron Gallery. And you're celebrating 10 years of owning an art gallery in downtown Tupelo. That's quite a feat.
It is, because, like I said earlier, there were many a naysayer. Well, they didn't say it to me until after I'd been open for a couple of years. And they're like, I didn't think you'd last a year. And so we'll be 10 years in April. We had launched our website. And then in August, mid-August in 2010, we opened up the gallery.
So earlier we were talking about the gallery moving around downtown Tupelo, and I mean, many small businesses do this. Did you move primarily because you needed more space, which is a very positive thing, or did you move just because the lease ran out and it was time to go somewhere else?
Well, it was a couple of reasons. The first time we moved, we needed bigger space. Our walls were only like 8 feet tall. It was a bunch of chopped up rooms. They didn't want us doing any renovation to it. And down the street, somebody was renovating an old building, and they approached us, like, would you be interested in moving down here? And so we just talked and came up with a reasonable amount of rent. Mm-hmm. And so we moved down there. So by the time that we moved there, we had added the custom framing. So we had to move all that equipment plus all the art to the new space. And so we lasted there. Let's see, our first spot was 3 years. The next spot was 7 years, 5 years, whatever. Uh-huh. We were there for a while. And then the building we were in, some previous owner had knocked down some brick walls in between the two buildings.
Oh, okay. And so you had a structural issue.
They wanted to renovate the upstairs because another tenant wanted to move in upstairs.
Right.
And so they were going to have to put support beams in the middle, and they wanted me to close for about 2 months. And I was like, that would kill my business.
Sure.
I can't survive that way. So the people next door were moving out. So they moved out, they cleaned it up, made a couple of renovations for us, and we moved next door.
Great. You've been there for?
So been there a little over a year, year and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you're in a very interesting location in downtown Tupelo. We mentioned it earlier that you're across the street from Reed's department store, which is a historic place. When I was a kid growing up in Boonville, we came to Reed's to shop for clothes and lots of other things. They have the great bookstore there.
Right, right.
Now, I forget the name of it, but it's
Reed's Gumtree Bookstore.
Reed's Gumtree. Now, the Gumtree thing, there's also the Gumtree Festival and the Gumtree gallery. Museum of art here.
Right.
So I guess Gumtree relates to the Tupelo gum.
Tupelo,
is that right?
Yeah, there's a Tupelo gum tree, and supposedly Tupelo is named after that specific gum tree.
Right, right. Yeah. But in the same location that you're in is the famous Tupelo hardware store where one Elvis Presley purchased his first guitar. Mm-hmm. And I would also imagine that you get a lot of tourist visitors into this location. Is that
do you
see a lot of sort of walk-in tourists who are sort of on the Elvis pilgrimage, and they end up coming into your shop?
Yeah, we get a combination of tourists. We have the people who come on the bus, and they have saved to make this trek to the United States. A lot of times it's European and a lot of London. England tourists. And a lot of Oriental, Asian tourists that will come. So we have such a mix of people that come.
So these buses are primarily going to the birthplace.
They're going to the birthplace, they're going to Tupelo Hardware, and they are headed to Memphis.
Okay.
Or they've left Memphis and they're headed here, and then they're going on to Nashville, or they're going to New Orleans. You know,
it's a music-based tour,
right?
Bus tour,
right? Exactly. And so, so that's one type of tourist that we get, and usually we may get one person out of that bus that may stop because they're so focused on Elvis. I mean, total focus.
I understand. Elvis.
But then we have people who come in their own cars and have always wanted to see Graceland, the birthplace, and the hardware store, and those that are really those are the type that will get out of their cars and spend the day in Tupelo, or at least a half a day.
Eat lunch. Go to Reed's.
Check out Reed's. I mean, there's lots of, now, you know, in the past 10 years since I've been there, the downtown has grown so much. It's been amazing to see the renovations that have happened. New retailers and restaurants open and come in and help support even more. You know, the more that's there, the more that want to come. And so, so they'll spend a good half day and they'll see the Natchez Trace and go to the visitor center. So there's a lot of elements that they can do while they're in Tupelo, not just seeing Elvis. And so they do their homework, and the CVB, Tupelo CVB, does a good job in educating visitors about that. And then the other tourists that we get, which is the most interesting, I think, is the snowbirds.
The snowbirds. Oh, okay.
They trek from the beach, and they take their time going home because their lease runs out. Most of their leases run out into February, into March.
Okay.
And the end of March is like crazy traffic. Because I have a Canadian family member who is a snowbird that travels from Florida to see us for the month of April. Uh-huh. So they said they never will leave the last day of March again. But a lot of people want to avoid Atlanta. So they'll come through Tupelo. They'll come up more through Alabama and Tupelo, go to Chicago, and maybe they go to Michigan or Minnesota and that kind of stuff.
So the snowbirds are not just Canadian. They're also American.
Yeah, North Americans
who live in the Northeast.
Yeah, yeah. And so they'll make this way so they can avoid some of the traffic.
Gotcha.
And they've done it so much.
So you've
become
the alternative route for the snowbirds.
Yeah, it's been really interesting.
Maybe the scenic route, as it were.
Yeah, and that's what they're doing. I think they're looking for a different way because they've driven it so many times. And they'll look for art galleries as they go, and they'll stop in them and...
Oh, great.
We get them as a customer, and they continue to be a customer. It's been great.
My guest today is Kim Caron from the Caron Gallery in downtown Tupelo, Mississippi. We're talking about her business celebrating 10 years in April, I believe you said?
Website 10 years in April, and the storefront in August.
So before you had the storefront, you had the website.
Yes. I thought that was one of the most important things for us to do. Especially if I wanted to sell art beyond the county line, is to have that website so people could find us on the internet and see the talents and purchase online.
Why don't you share that website with us at this juncture of our conversation?
TheCaronGallery.com. TheCaronGallery.com.
And you've had the same address for all of these
all
10
these years.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you represent primarily Mississippi artists, I believe.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they have to have a Mississippi connection.
Uh-huh.
So they had to either be born and raised here, had gone to a Mississippi university, college, and spent some time here, or they're living here now.
Okay.
So they've got to have a connection. Now, you know, every now and then someone will call and say, well, you know, my best friend lives in Mississippi. It's like, well, I mean, have you been influenced by Mississippi?
Right.
I mean, have you really been influenced by Mississippi? And to be influenced by Mississippi, you got to be amongst us. And I think that just makes a difference. You can see it. You really can see it. And the price points for Mississippi artists are some of the lowest in the country. Mm. They really are. Now, they're finally gardening. There's some amazing talented artists who are their price points are going up, and they deservedly, you know, should be that way.
Right.
But the new ones and some that they just want to paint.
Right.
And that's what's the bottom line. They want to paint and they want to be able to live and do that every day and not have to have two or three jobs.
And who are some of your artists? Let's talk about the people you represent and the ones that you've had for a long time, maybe some of the newer ones as
well. You know, lots of your Jackson listeners will know Ellen Langford. We've had Ellen for quite a while now. And we have Lauren Dunn, who grew up in Leland, but she lives in Nashville now. So, you know, big influence by Bob Tompkins, a very established artist a lot of people know in the state. We have Keith Francis, who just...
returned to Tupelo.
Yeah. It feels like yesterday. I think he's been back 3 or 4 years now. He has taught me tremendous about the art world and museums and galleries and how some of these systems work. And, you know, I didn't know any better. So sometimes I just did what I thought was best and didn't follow the rules. But anyway, didn't know there were rules. But let's see. We have a Serampus artist we haven't had too long, David Johnson. His father, I think, was in the military and lived several places in Mississippi, now lives in Memphis. And, oh, talk about a hard worker. He's like Key. They're working every day in their studio and just grinding it out every day. And
do you sell, I know you sell Key's paintings and visual pieces. Do you also sell his books?
Every now and then we kind of, you know, books are hard.
Yeah,
it's a very fine.
I'm just curious if that was.
Yeah, we've sold some of his books, and sometimes we'll have them in the gallery, sometimes not. They are fine art books, and you know, we would have gloves out for people to handle them just out of respect for the product itself. And because, you know, it's archival, we want to protect it.
Sure.
But we sell it. We might have a few on the website right now. I cannot recall. But mainly we have as a visual because it's such a niche. But we do have collectors that call us because they know that we can go to his studio and get whatever he needs.
Yeah, he lives here, and your gallery's here, and you have this relationship with
him. Oh, yeah. I talk to him all the time.
So do you have shows? I mean, you do an opening night for each of your artists, or do you just have kind of...
We're just a little different because because we're not in a big metropolitan area. To have, you know, an exhibit that's for 2 months and selling everything from the exhibit and all that kind of stuff, we display our artists all the time.
Okay.
So we have, you know, quite a bit of inventory up on the walls. But we'll have featured artists quarterly and then sometimes monthly.
I see.
We do have one show a year, and it's a Smalls show. And we
small
paintings.
Yeah, yeah.
So all the gallery artists are asked to participate in that
and do small work.
And do small work, because some may always do small pieces, but there's some artists like Key.
Yeah, Key doesn't do small.
He does big, and so we try to do that at least that one once a year. Now we have an art box that we do quarterly, and that's a big promo that we do for our artists. We'll have an art and wine dinner. We have a demo. We're now having workshops with some of our artists. So we try to do different things than a traditional, per se, big city gallery, just because I can't ask a artist to work on a huge collection, spend all that time, take up so much space in the gallery, and they sell one piece.
Right.
So.
Well,
so
you do what works
it.
For you, you know.
Yeah.
Your format might be different than a Memphis gallery or a New Orleans gallery or a Jackson gallery.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi, I'm Malcolm White. Thanks for listening to the Mississippi Arts Hour podcast. You can also hear the show on MPB Think Radio every Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m. For access to more conversations with creative Mississippians, subscribe to the podcast using your favorite podcast app.
Hello, I'm Dr. Nancy Lottridge Anderson, president of New Perspectives, a fee-only financial advising firm and co-host of Money Talks. For over 10 years, Money Talks has been answering your personal financial questions and sharing knowledge about money management. Money Talks can be heard Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on MPB Think Radio. Podcasts can be found on our website, money.mpbonline.org, or on your smart device's podcasting platform.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
You're listening to the Mississippi Arts Hour. I'm Malcolm White. I'm your host today. I am in Tupelo along with Larry Morrissey. We're recording a series of Arts Hours here in Tupelo, Mississippi at the Link Center, one of our great grantees at the Arts Commission. And we are grateful for the space, and we appreciate being in Tupelo in Northeast Mississippi. And today my guest is Kim Caron. Welcome back, Kim.
Thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. So you've had this gallery, and do you still have the frame shop?
Yes.
So it's an art gallery and frame shop, downtown Tupelo,
right.
Been in business for 10 years. We've talked a bit about your different artists that you represent and kind of your business model, but what about the frame shop? Are you the only frame shop in town?
No, there's another custom frame shop, and then there's the, you know, big box framers that are around too. Yeah. So
just two sort of independent frame shops.
Yeah. Unless there's another one I don't know of. No. But and she's been in Village Frame. I'm glad to say it because she's, you know, still a friend. She helps me out when all of a sudden we need something ASAP. Yeah. And very, very kind and encouraging. So, you know, it just evolved. I worked in a frame shop when I was in high school and college.
All right.
And so I knew, you know, how to do most of it. I had to kind of freshen it up a little bit. But we just had, like I said, early on, nobody wanted, they just wanted a canvas.
Right.
And then they wanted to, you know, put their children up on the wall, and they wanted to have other options of a framer in town. And so we kept getting people asking about it. And I was like, well, we might as well, you know, start doing this. And the artists were, or our clients wanted to frame those canvases and put a floater frame around it or something like that. And just it kind of grew from there.
So your family came to Tupelo because of the furniture industry.
Right.
You told me earlier. It's pretty interesting to me that the furniture industry is an enormous economic driver here in Tupelo, and the furniture market and the different furniture businesses is a big deal. But you have chosen a creative. I see you as the Tupelo version of furniture to creative industries. And you decided some 10 years ago to take a shot at a frame shop and a gallery. Did you start with the frame shop or the gallery first?
The gallery.
And later added it. Mm-hmm. In your life, did you have a practice of going into a lot of art galleries and seeing how they were laid out and sort of thinking about their business plan, or was this a sort of an idea you had and you just sort of made it up as you went?
Right. Well, you know, when growing up, you know, I just lived life, you know, as a child, and, you know, we just played outside and, you know, didn't travel because we lived so far away from our grandparents. Mm-hmm. So our vacations were traveling home to visit family. So we didn't go on lots of vacations and stuff, which is fine because we go to the farm or my cousins and see them and have a great time. So it was like a vacation to me, and it was great. And so once I got out of college and we got married and we started traveling, and I'd gone to art festivals. Really, the first art festival I went to was Gumtree Art Festival. And so,
which is a great art festival.
Yeah. So we moved here in 77.
It's a juried festival. And
right.
I think a lot of the artists who come to Gumtree sell quite a bit. And I got to panel it one year, and I was impressed with the quality of the art. In fact, I think the winner that year was a porcelain artist, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. There, it's a great festival. So I think that was really the first time I was exposed to mm-hmm. art was when once we
Fine
moved
art.
Here. Mm-hmm. And went to the, I think we moved here in 77. I think the year before was the first one, mm-hmm. or maybe 2 years before that. I mean, it wasn't, the Westbrooks were a huge part of getting that started in Tupelo. And so, so as in junior high and high school, went to the art festivals here locally, and then went to college and got exposed a little bit more because I wanted to do the photography.
Right.
And, but really going to museums, I think somewhat in college, I did that when at Mississippi State. And then once we got married and started traveling some, that was just something we go to the museums and go to the galleries. And now it's to the point, my husband's like, can we leave, please? I'm like, okay. So I only know I have a certain amount of time to go. But
so your first gallery was at your home.
Yeah.
You started your own collection.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And it's just, you know, I did see these galleries that I would go, we would go to New York City, or we would go to Dallas, and you'd walk up to the door and go, may I come in? Because it's, you know, it is a little threatening because there's art on the wall. It's very minimally displayed, which is mine is not.
Right.
And there's one person sitting behind the desk, and you open the door, and they just kind of look up at you. And you're like, please, can I look? And I, you know, when I first opened, people would call and say, is there a charge to come in?
Wow.
And I'm like, well, no, I'm a gallery, first of all, so I'm selling it. So please come in. I'm not going to charge you nothing unless you buy something. But, you know, it was that experience really influenced me on making sure that when they came to Caring Gallery, they would never have that feeling.
That's interesting. So in your earliest experiences with galleries, there was sort of this standoffish, unwelcoming feeling in the big city galleries.
And you knew for a fact
that when you opened your gallery up, it was not going to have that.
It's not going to have that. I mean, determined. Yeah. And so we're in an old building. There's the brick walls, and we've got, you know, a cable system to hang the art so we don't have to try to drill it into the in the brick. And we stack them three tall, and we try to display it so we mix it up.
Mm-hmm.
So in my house, I'm not hanging all the same artists on the same walls. It's not done that way at home.
Right. Oh, of course
and
not.
And so, and I understand why certain galleries do, you know, that's the model. That is the international model.
All this artist
model.
Here, yes. All this artist there.
And I don't do that.
Great.
But I want people to see that they can have a classic landscape next to a crazy figure or an abstract.
Right.
Or mixed media. I mean, just to mix it up, because you're going to do that at your house. Now, I tried to be respectful of each artist and their medium and make them at least work together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how when I go to reset the gallery about once every 4 to 6, 8 weeks, how things that I would never think would work together. But as I'm trying to develop the walls and make it be pleasing to the eye and welcoming in the gallery, it's like, oh my gosh, I never really thought that would be good together. And it's like, oh, that's so cool. Hopefully somebody will buy that.
Teaching yourself interior designing.
Yeah.
My guest today is Kim Caron from the Caron Gallery, downtown Tupelo. We're not broadcasting so much as we are recording here at the Link Center in Tupelo. If you're listening via podcast, welcome to the Mississippi Arts Hour. Today I am happy to have Kim Caron as my guest. 10 years in the art gallery business in downtown Tupelo. And I was going to ask you to sort of share how Tupelo has changed, the revitalization of downtown and Tupelo, particularly in the downtown areas, in your time down there.
Yeah. You know, when we first opened, and like I said, we had to beg to get that spot. But I knew as an art gallery, we had to be downtown. That was just, I think, the most important aspect, because downtown is, in most communities, is walkable.
Right.
The people are walking around, and it's kind of heart of the community. So I felt like it was important to be downtown. So when we started, there was 4 lanes of traffic out front, very difficult to park.
Mm.
And the Downtown Main Street Association was working hard to make a change. They had the office or agency had been, you know, been there for a long time and had worked and worked trying to explain to people we've got to build our downtown. If you have a good downtown, a thriving downtown, your community will be thriving, all aspects of it. And sometimes that's hard to sell to other businesses in different parts of the community.
Right.
But from there, they fortunately, through the Community Development Foundation and the Elvis Foundation, the birthplace, and the Downtown Main Street Association, they worked together to build and get grant money for the Elvis Trail from downtown Tupelo to the birthplace.
A walking trail.
A walking and biking trail.
And biking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's probably about a mile trek over there. And it took a long time to get that. And there were a lot of upset people, you know, downtown, even downtown, you know, businesses are like, you're taking a lane of road out because they wanted to have a bike and walking lane, parking, and then they had a turning lane. So there's east and west
lanes. So they had to redo
lanes.
The whole traffic schematic.
Yeah. And
but it seems to be working just fine.
Oh, it's been great. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, the mayor and city council are going to extend that another probably two or three blocks west in order to slow traffic down a little bit more. And that was the biggest thing. There's so many people now shopping downtown that they have to have a little bit of extend that safety zone, because you would park in front of the downtown post office and you could easily get your side mirror knocked off. Oh yeah. Just parking. Not saying to open the door and take the door off. So it's amazing once they got that, and it's allowed more of the tourists to stay longer.
Mm-hmm.
Because they see, and there's more interactive things to do at the Elvis birthplace. And so they're growing and developing more and more things to do as a tourist, as a citizen in downtown. And they say Fair Park, where the City Hall is now like Tupelo's front porch.
Right.
And so a lot of music festivals go on down there and events. And
that's where the old fairgrounds were.
Right.
Where Elvis did his concert in 57, I think.
I knew it was in the 50s, but
yeah,
I'm not sure.
I think it was
57.
He did. Came home after his stardom began, played a big concert down there.
And just in the past 2 years, the development there, because they had City Hall and some other places, but down there some homes, but now more and more businesses are developing and building on that property alone, and it's just so exciting to see.
So it's filling in the gap really between downtown Tupelo and East Tupelo, where the birthplace is.
Yeah, and there was a big gap
where the trail
there.
Is, yeah.
There was, you know, it kind of felt
got
like
Johnny's Drive-In down there.
Yeah, and it's like for a while there, I think, you know, the community in East Tupelo felt a disconnect because mm-hmm. there was such a expanse of empty land that wasn't developed. And it's just slowly creeping that way, and I think they feel more a part of the community. Now, they get a little frustrated because they have to be in that two-lane traffic.
Yeah.
Well, through downtown.
Change is hard.
It is.
Hi, I'm Malcolm White. Thanks for listening to the Mississippi Arts Hour podcast. You can also hear the show on MPB Think Radio every Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m. For access to more conversations with creative Mississippians, subscribe to the podcast using your favorite podcast app.
No matter if you use an app to start your car or still have a flip phone, Everyday Tech can decipher today's technology for tomorrow's solutions. Subscribe now to the podcast using any podcast app or the MPB Public Media app.